Hello and welcome to More or Less on the BBC World Service, the show that likes to take a fresh look at the numbers in the news and in life. I'm Charlotte MacDonald. This week, numbers behind hashtag natural birth control. A number of TikTok videos have been promoting the use of natural birth control methods over more conventional methods such as the hormonal contraceptive pill.
I'm not comfortable with putting foreign objects in my body or using artificial hormones. So I use the natural family planning method and it's amazing.
Some have even thrown around some pretty high numbers for how effective it can be.
This method is 99.6% effective in preventing pregnancy when followed perfectly.
It's 99% effective when used properly.
But what is natural birth control? Well, the idea behind all birth control is not to get pregnant. Most methods allow you to have sex whenever you want without getting pregnant. But here I'm using the phrase natural birth control to mean having unprotected sex on the days you're not fertile and avoiding unprotected sex on the days in the month where sex might lead to pregnancy, which is roughly 6 days a month. Of course, it's not straightforward working out when a woman's body is fertile. Looking into this for the show, I've discovered there are so many different methods and names that people mention. Natural family planning, rhythm method, calendar method, fertility awareness methods.
My name is Rachel Perigallo-Rudia. I am an associate professor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, North Carolina.
I contacted Rachel in the hope she might be able to explain more. The first thing she told me is that the best term to use is fertility awareness-based methods. So, what are they?
Fertility awareness-based methods are a group of methods. It's not one method, but they all have in common that they use one or more biomarkers of fertility that patients track and then use those biomarkers with either a digital algorithm or a set of rules to determine the days where that person is highly likely to become pregnant if they were to have intercourse or less likely to become pregnant if they were to have intercourse.
Biomarkers might sound like a complicated scientific term, but it's actually fairly simple. All it means in this case is something you can measure in your body. So what are these biomarkers they're tracking?
So one is just menstrual cycle dates. The second category is cervical mucus. So there are different ways of tracking the secretions that the cervix makes. Those change with the hormonal levels during the cycle. Another is basal body temperature. Basal body temperature traditionally was that someone took their temperature first thing in the morning when they woke up before they got out of bed. And they could track changes in that during their cycle. Then there are urinary hormone tests.
Some methods just track one, others track multiple biomarkers. It's not a new idea, tracking your cycle. But what is relatively new is the proliferation of apps and new technology, such as thermometers, offering to help you track your cycle. Plus, people offering their services online to coach you on how to use them. Now, there are concerns that these methods shouldn't be promoted over more conventional birth control, such as the pill, especially in the US, where access to abortion in some states is now limited, following the recent Roe v. Wade judgment by the Supreme Court. So what do we know about these natural methods, the fertility awareness-based methods? Rachel is one of the co-authors of a systematic review of the available research in 2018.
Among the 54 studies that we identified, only 21 were moderate quality and none were high quality. So it's a relatively low quality group of evidence.
Not only that, but these studies are for lots of different types of methods, not just one method. Here is Rachel's co-author, Chelsea Polis, a reproductive health epidemiologist.
We know that there are many fertility awareness-based methods that exist. In our systematic review, we identified only 14 that have any effectiveness studies published on them. Of those 14, we identified only 12 that have moderate quality studies published on them. And of those 12 that have moderate quality studies, only two of those have undergone regulatory approval, including with the United States Food and Drug Administration. So the vast majority of fertility awareness-based methods have not undergone, certainly not undergone regulatory review, and many don't have moderate or high quality evidence describing the effectiveness of those methods.
So there are no high quality studies. There are a handful of moderate quality studies, but since there are so many different methods, there are a few, if any, for each one. With this limited evidence base, we can say the research suggests that fertility awareness-based methods are between 66 and 98% effective in typical use. The reason for this, well, every method of contraceptive relies on being correctly used.
So I think for anybody who's interested in using a fertility awareness-based method, it's really important to understand that unlike long-acting reversible contraceptives, fertility awareness-based methods are very sensitive to incorrect and inconsistent use.
And what about other methods of contraception? How good is the evidence for that? Well, there's a lot more of it. The hormonal pill is considered to be over 99% effective in perfect use, which is when someone uses it correctly all the time. And it's 93% effective in typical use, so including the mistakes people make, such as forgetting to take one. That means for 100 women on the pill, 93 will not get pregnant after a year of use, but 7 will. For condoms in typical use, it's 87% effective, meaning that out of 100 women using them over a year, 13 will get pregnant. Rachel explains there are some good signs in the data for some natural birth control methods.
I do think that from the moderate quality studies, we were able to identify that there are some methods in some populations that are able to use these methods effectively with effectiveness estimates that are in the same range as barrier methods like condoms or even hormonal birth control pills in some cases. Now, I wouldn't want to conclusively say that these methods are as effective as condoms or birth control pills. I would say they may be, and especially they may be for people who use them correctly and consistently.
One of these moderate studies was of Sensiplan, a method tracking multiple indicators, including cervical mucus and basal body temperature. It was carried out in Germany, and its impressive results could be where some of our TikTokers are getting their numbers from.
Typical use in that study was only 2% of those individuals became pregnant over the first year of use, and less than 1%, 0.4%, became pregnant with correct and consistent use. So that sounds wonderful, and it is for people who want to use that method, but I think the population's really interesting because it was mostly white, highly educated, single patients who had never had children and were probably highly motivated to avoid an unintended pregnancy at that point in their life. Many were not married. I think the effectiveness really varies based on a lot of factors that are unique to each population, and a lot of that might be related to their motivation and their desires at any one point.
If you're watching a video on social media and they mention a method is 99% effective, you should be wary.
Anything that says 99% effectiveness, unless they're talking about Sensiplan specifically, is not accurate, period. And also it's misleading because even if they are talking about that study, they're talking about correct and consistent use. Majority of cycles were not use of the method correctly and consistently. Based on the data, I know it shouldn't ever really be appropriate to say this method is 99% effective. That's a very misleading statement in many ways.
Many companies are seeking ways to get their apps and devices regulatory approval. So in the future, there will be more studies and more numbers to examine. Thank you to Rachel Arutia and Chelsea Polis. That's all we have time for. Until next week, goodbye.